Greetings, I'm James Gilliland, and welcome to the show. I'm your host, and we've got another good show tonight. We've got the second half. We've got a great show covering everything from yoga to UFOs on the second half. But the first half, I really want to talk about a lot of the earth changes and some of the things going on. A lot of people have been really bugging me over and over about Hurricane Sandy and some of the other things that are coming up. And these are things that we've been talking about for quite some time. And I just want to let people know there's a lot of feel-good prophets out there that'll tell you what you want to hear and not what you need to hear. And they seem to need your acceptance and approval or donations. And, you know, they're gathering a group together and they're going to do whatever is necessary. They're afraid of losing customers or losing followers or whatever. But that's not our program here. You know, we love humanity and the earth enough to tell you what you need to hear and kind of what we need to do in these days to come. So anyway, that's our program. There's no agenda other than getting out some of the facts and research that we've been doing and let people make up their own minds. You know, so basically that's the way we do things here. But we like people that are self-governing, self-empowered, and people that are striving to make their own personal God connection or spirit connection, creator, whatever you want to call it, and that are walking in their own self-authority, you know, leading themselves. That's our program. So with that coming, I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the changes coming up. And I've had all kinds of emails asking me, you know, what's up? What do I think is happening? And I'm going to go ahead and cover some of that. The, you know, I don't even know where to start. I mean, there's so many things going on. There's a lot of people, including myself, that have had dreams and visions of coastal displacements and water coming in. And several warnings, which I think Sandy was just a warning. You know, there's more to come. But, you know, we need to start doing the research. According to the USGS, earthquakes over 5 are off the scale. I mean, there's actually graphs showing this, and it's just unbelievable when you look at it. The hurricanes, tornadoes, and superstorms are unprecedented. They're also on the rise. The magnetic fields of the earth are weak, with major holes, which is, you know, which usually precedes a magnetic pole shift. And this is geology, folks. This isn't prophecy. This happens every so many thousand years. You know, so we have a 26,000-year event unfolding here. And guess what? It is December 21st, around that time, you know, when this unfolds. And we also have 1,100-year cycle as well. So, you know, the last time, I think they're about 11,500-year cycle that's unfolding. The last one was Atlantis and Lemuria, so that might give you a little heads up. But the upper atmosphere is diminishing. There's major changes, and it's measured in the thermosphere and the ionosphere as well. And that goes along with the holes, you know, and the major magnetic holes that we're dealing with. Now, solar flares are unprecedented with M&X-class flares to the extent that NASA has changed the scale. They've actually tried to scale these things down, and, you know, so they can, you know, they're starting to do the same thing. I've heard they're probably going to change the earthquake magnitude scale to keep the illusion going that nothing is happening out of the ordinary. So who knows? But NASA has, however, you know, warned repeatedly about the solar maximum cycle 24. And the likely possibility of losing our power and communication grid. And they have been forthright on that one and bringing that up. So in other words, your plastic cards and ATMs will not bring you the goods you need. We're also entering into an alignment with galactic plane. And again, this is science. This isn't prophecy. This is science. We are moving into an alignment with galactic plane, or what some people call the dark rift. And where there's extreme magnetic influences and a lot of dust and debris. So we're probably going to be seeing a lot more meteor showers and actually impacts as well. So I'd pay attention to that. You know, there's quite a few things going on. We wanted to talk about, too, there's actually a massive global movement. It's been going on for some time now to dig as many underground bases as possible. You know, create seed banks, move the major military bases away from the coast, and the banksters have pretty much looted the economy in America and other countries as well, just leaving it to crash. So, you know, when we look at all of these events together, you know, we have to ask ourselves, you know, what do they know? You know, what is NASA and other agencies not telling us? You know, why are the remote viewers all seeing cars no longer operating, major ocean displacements, meteor impacts, and mass migrations inland? I mean, what are they tuning into? Are they tuning into some fear of the past, which a lot of people would like you to believe? You know, it's the old Atlantis sinking and things like that that they're saying are people are tuning in the past. But they're not looking in the past. They're looking, they have specific target dates and, you know, double, triple blind methods of getting this information. So, you know, basically, I think we can rule that one out. There's just so many things about that I've heard. And, but I, you know, I always tell people the last question you need to ask yourself is, what is your gut telling you? You know, what are your dreams telling you? And are you able to connect with nature and ask her where she's going? You know, get tapped in. You know, it's really important that we all kind of get away from our plastic society and get away from the cubicles and the cement jungle and get out in nature and, you know, get up on a mountaintop and look at, you know, what's going on, tap in, ask the land, you know, what it's going to do, what's going to happen there. And you have that within you. You have a spirit that can go forward or backward in time. It's not a problem to see your future. And, you know, basically, you know, it's anybody can do it, but the trick is who is going to take the time to do it? You know, that's the big question. And very few people are taking the time to really tap in, you know, and you know, check out what's going on with themselves. So anyway, we're going to do some open lines later tonight. First, I want to answer some of the email questions that we have and get those out of the way. And I might have my assistant here read some of these, and we can go from there, and then she can ask the questions, and I'll go ahead and try to answer them to the best of my ability. But, you know, basically this is a Jamesism. It's not set in stone. It's flexible. It's what I know at the moment. And my beliefs change as more knowledge, more wisdom comes in, more information. And so we can just go from there and we can start off with the first questions.
Hi, James. So the first question is, do planetary alignments have anything to do with the changes?
That's a definite yes. You should definitely look into the electric universe, you know, the read up on that, check out, you know, they kind of have a capacitor effect. So especially with the sun, when planets are in alignment with the sun and the earth, you know, a lot of things happen. You know, Uranus is a planet that creates a lot of change. It's a lot of change. Pluto is the depths, you know, the deepest secrets coming up. And those are two alignments we have coming up right now. But, you know, if you can see right now that everybody's deepest stuff is coming right up to the surface to look at, you know, and, you know, look at the politicians and look what they have to deal with and all their dark secrets are coming up to the surface, and we get to see all that. So, you know, they definitely affect changes both in consciousness and earthquake and volcanic activity, as well as weather. So whenever you see a major planetary alignment, and especially during a full moon, and if you have some massive solar events like solar flares at the same time, you're going to see some huge changes. So keep an eye on the solar site, solar observatory, or SOHO, and keep a line on the full moons. You know, the moon is closest to the Earth, so it has quite an impact. And you know, that the tides as well, the extreme high tides with a full moon and a solar flare, you're definitely going to be rocking and rolling a little bit. Not just on the Earth, but in consciousness as well.
So, second, what do you see in the future for politics?
Wow, politics, man, that's a tough one. I really don't listen to politics. You know, what I see is we have a one one-party system. Basically, it's a corporate-sponsored democracy that really has two puppets with the same puppet master. So basically, it doesn't matter who's in office there. It's basically the major corporations and the banksters are calling the shots right now. So, and you know, the people are waking up, and that's what I see as far as politics. I just see a huge awakening and earth changes as well that are going to help usher that in. And when people see the government really no longer serves them and isn't serving them through these big disasters, you know, they're going to start thinking twice on the necessity of big government. And, you know, there's a thing called the ninth wave of unity consciousness and the evolution of Earth, and everything is going in a direction that's going to end the tyranny, you know, the separation game, the greed, the need for power over others. All of this stuff is going out the door. So you're going to see any structures, be them religious structures or political structures or business structures, whatever these structures are that are based on greed and separation and power over others, all of these structures are going to implode and collapse in on themselves. And that's just the nature of where things are going. And it's you can't stop it. They're doing everything they can to try to stop it, but you can't really stop it. So when you see these structures kind of collapsing in on themselves and falling apart, and don't get into fear. Don't worry about it. Let them go. You know, there's something new coming in. I think universal law is something that'll be coming in, you know, right behind that.
And how about the present legal system? Do you see changes there?
Definitely there. It's funny that segued right into that. You know, the legal system is real. It's very corrupt. It's not our system, basically. We lost our system a long time ago when we lost the Republic and we had the United States Corporation take over, you know, the United States of America. So our whole system is really, you know, based on a coup, you might say, a takeover, and we've lost our rights. And, you know, your name in all caps, which is on all the documents, all the government documents, is actually, that's your brand, basically, as a slave. You know, this may sound outrageous or it might sound like conspiracy, but it's not. This is factual. Look it up. It's just the way it is. We need to get back to a republic. We need to get a de jure system going, you know, more of a common law system, you know, a legal system that really serves the people. And we need to break away from this extortion game that's going on. You know, whenever you create a position of power outside of yourself, there's always an impetus to abuse that power and use that power against you. And unfortunately, that's where a lot of the system is gone, and a lot of people have taken over these positions of power, and they're abusing that power, and they're working for the system and not you. And it's usually your pocketbook that's getting the hit, or your freedom, or whatever, that's taken a major hit. And we have to shift that system back into a more common law system, one that operates under universal law. And one that, you know, we need to go back to a republic where every man is a king and every woman is a queen in their own home, in their own land. And everybody is treated equally and you know, kind of in the gross uneven dispersal of wealth and the elite system and all these other things. They just need to go out. There's no reason why we should all be living in abundance. That's the law of nature. And the only reason why we're not living in abundance is because of the manufactured lack and the elitism and the greed. And that has to go out. But are you saying I'm anti-capitalist? No, I'm not. You know, if somebody wants to build something, create a product, sell a product, make some money on it, great. You know, but I mean, how much money do you need? You know, and how can you look upon your brother, your sister when they're starving and homeless and, you know, and how can you spend most of your hard-earned money, you know, having it taken away from you and used in the war industry to destroy other children of God out there? You know, is that your wish? No. So again, you know, we need to really look at, okay, what is serving us? What is serving the planet? And is it equal? You know, is it fair? Is it just? And I think all of us are going to have to do some real soul searching there and stand up for what's fair and what's just and what's right on the planet.
And what do you know about the two separate timelines converging?
You know, yeah, there's a lot of information about that, about separate timelines converging. And, you know, I have a different take on that. You know, my take is a lot different. The doing a little computer work here at the same time. Okay, my take on that is, I'll tell you what I believe, and there's always a lie in belief, so you can take this. There's a lot of people that are saying, you know, one timeline, we're all going to go on business as usual. You know, we're going to continue, you know, all the businesses, everything, religions, everything are going to continue, and we're all going to kind of hold hands and sing Kumbaya and ascend. But, you know, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever to me. It just doesn't. I'm sorry, but a lot of the things that are going on right now are totally unsustainable. They're not in alignment with unity consciousness. They're very disempowering, and they definitely do not align with universal law or the law of one. So basically, all that which doesn't align with that is going to go through a major tribulation or a major upheavals or restructuring. That's just the way it is. And so I just see the polarities coming together. There's two types of polarities where people are going to start, you know, the people that are totally materialistic are going to start becoming a lot more spiritual. And the people that are just totally against, you know, anything material are probably going to move towards being a little more material, you know, finding balance. And, you know, that's what unity consciousness is all about. So it's coming together in the middle. I just had a long conversation about that, how a lot of spiritual people believe that the earth is just an illusion. You know, it's, you know, your body just turns to dust, focus on your spirit, and that's it. Well, you know, a lot of these belief systems, either, you know, their bodies do turn to dust. The yogis die, and they've taken, you know, removed the energy it takes to maintain the body. And so they end up crossing over, and they just, no big deal. You know, they're already tuned to spirit. But, you know, I think there's a balance, is that it's a real gift to come here and be in the physical. And the creator is omnipresent in all creation. And we need to walk that path of respect and honoring the creator in all creation. It doesn't matter what culture, what color you are, what belief you are. It's, we all came from the same source, and we all return to the same source. And that's what I think we're doing. We're converging to back into oneness, or back into unity consciousness. And the things that don't align with that are going to kind of implode or take the downward spiral. And this is all going to be amplified. I think those who have chosen a path totally separate from spirit and are totally aligned with the ego and sense gratification are not going to make it through this shift. You know, they're just too far out of alignment. And you know, karma is also going to be accelerated as well. And we've talked to a lot of lamas lately and yogis, and they're all saying the same thing. Everything is going to be amplified and accelerated. So, you know, if you're doing good deeds and you're focusing on love and joy and bliss, that's all going to be accelerated. If you're going around ripping people off and harming people on the planet, that karma is going to be accelerated as well. So it's a time of great, you know, acceleration. And that's my view of it, that with these energies coming in, it's going to raise up. It's like semantics. Everything of a lower frequency is going to have to come up, and there's going to be chaos for a little while, and then it's going to reach a new creation, you might say, a new consciousness, and then more energy will come in, and we'll go through that phase again into chaos and then back to equilibrium again. So I think we're going through constant stages of huge influxes of energy, which throws things into chaos. We find equilibrium again, and then the next big wave of energy comes through, and we're just going through continuous steps of that until we finally even out, you know, and are flowing with this unity consciousness.
Next question. Are the aliens going to save us, beam us up, and take us to their planet?
I get that asked a lot, and there's a lot of belief systems around that, and that's been happening probably since the 50s, a lot in the 70s, and it's still going on today, where, you know, these mass beam-ups and these mass liftings are going to happen, and, you know, everybody's maxing their credit cards out and selling off all their goods, and they're just ready to take off, you know, but the thing is that so far, you know, you would think if you heard that message since the 50s that you'd start questioning that message. You know, the same thing I've heard about this major, like, prosperity programs and fundings and pyramids and all these different things. I've seen them all come and go. And some of them are still going. It's amazing. You know, after probably 20 years, they're still going, and people still believe their funding is going to be, their checks in the mail, and it's going to be there tomorrow. And they've been told this for God knows how long, you know, for years. And to me, after a while, if somebody tells me the check's in the mail, you know, 20 or 30 times, you know, I just didn't fall off the turnip truck. You know, after the first couple times, I'm going to start questioning, like, you know, is this for real? Where's this check? You know, how many excuses are you going to come up with? You know, I'm a very forgiving person, but there comes a time when common sense is God sense. So I think it's very important to realize that the aliens are not here to fix everything. They're not here to heal everything. They're not here to take care of us. They're not here to do everything for us. That's the most disempowering program I've ever seen. And you know, it's the same as thinking Jesus is going to, do everything for you. Everybody blames God or Jesus or gives credit to God or Jesus for everything. But what about personal choice? You know, what about making right decisions, you know, right action, right thinking? You know, where does that step into the quotient? And I just think it's very disempowering. And that wasn't the teaching of Jesus. And it's not the teachings of the higher dimensional beings as well. You know, they say when you worship others, you know, that diminishes your own personal connection with spirit. So do you respect these beings? Of course you do. Do you love these beings? You should love everybody and everything. You know, would you need to set boundaries in certain cases? Of course. You know, there's some things that aren't in your highest and best good. But I wouldn't count on somebody, you know, coming in and fixing everything and taking care of everybody. You know, it's a matter of us rising to the occasion. Now, are our groups going to rise to the occasion? Some are. Are individuals going to rise to the occasion? Of course. Are there beings having contact right now? Of course they are. It's happening globally. Are they going to get beamed up, you know, during the major changes? Possibly. If they rose to the occasion, if their frequencies are high enough, you know, they might, you know, get beamed up. They might just ascend, you know, who knows. But again, you know, we have to earn the right. We have to clean up our own consciousness. We have to rise to the occasion. They love humanity. They love the earth. They want to see us get through this quantum leap in consciousness and evolution. They're doing all they can to help us. But, you know, they're bound by certain universal laws. They can't interfere in personal choice, the divine right to free will. And so they have their rules, you know, and regulations that they have to go by. But if it is your intent to hook up and connect in, then definitely, you know, that may be a reality. That's a choice that you've made that is in alignment with free will, and that's a possibility. I want to give out the call numbers first before we go any further, so we can get some lines up. I'm going to do open lines and have people call in if anybody wants to call in and ask some questions and share any of their visions and dreams about the future. I'm going to give you those numbers now. The call-in number is 888-627-6008. And if you haven't had a chance to grab your pen, grab one. I'll give these again. The second line is 530-327-7602. 530-413-4522 or 530-413-5011. And let me give that first number again. If you got your pen, the first number, the toll-free number is 1-888-627-6008. Feel free to call in and share some of your dreams and visions and of the future. And so I'm going to go in and go ahead and answer a couple more questions here, and then we'll open the lines up for call-ins.
So what if I don't believe in any of this? After all is a dream, an illusion. Are there any other options, divine interventions, or other possibilities?
I think we covered most of that, but I'll cover it again because it is important. You know, a lot of people are under the belief, and there are whole teachings about this, that this is all an illusion and it doesn't exist. And if you just think positive, that's all you need to do. The problem is that you're in a physical universe or a physical dimension, you might say. You have a physical body. There is a possibility that you could bilocate. You know, you could levitate. You could even ascend to another dimension. But are you going to do that in the throes of a great quake or, you know, rising waters or tsunami? Are you going to be able to do that? Can you do it now? You know, how much homework have you done to reach these goals? And can you, and, you know, at what level are you at? To think you're going to go to mastery level in a moment and some little switch is going to flick, it just doesn't work that way. So again, if you have a physical body, love yourself enough to take care of it. If you have a family, love your family enough to take care of them. You know, if you're really getting the inner promptings to then maybe it might be time to seek higher ground, maybe store some food, find out where your water is coming from, your food. The Native Americans are saying this, where is your water coming from? How pure is it? You know, where are you getting your food? You know, is it dependent on being trucked in or trained in or whatever? You know, is it, you know, learn to grow your own food? That would be my suggestion. I think you're playing a nasty trick on yourself if you want to just dismiss all of this as an illusion or a fear message or whatever else. This isn't prophecy. This isn't coming from fear. I've already died a couple of times. I'm in no fear around this. This is pure service. And now this is science. This isn't, this isn't just a belief. It's measurable. It's happening. And we're in the middle of it right now. So anyway, you can try and dismiss it. Again, I tell people, if you think this is all an illusion, find yourself a great tree and take a run at it, you know. And when you wake up, we'll have a talk. You know, might have a big lump on your head, but maybe that's what you needed. There's a lot of possibilities here. You know, a lot of it depends on how attached you are, you know, how much denial you're in, and what your choices are going to be in the future. So if you have mastered loving, you know, loving detachment and you're making the right choices, and you're not in denial, you're going to flow with these changes and you're going to move with these changes. If you have a major attachment to your, you know, your house, your job, you know, your families or whatever, and social consciousness and their beliefs, you know, the people that are just totally programmed by TV and the mainstream media, which are designated to keep the status quo going, that's what's going to happen. You know, unfortunately, that reality is going to go dark. You know, when the grid goes down, the TV goes off, and everybody's going to be stumbling around going, where do I go? You know, where do I get my information from? How do I find out what's going on? You know, and they're going to be caught totally unaware. So it is divine intervention. You know, there's an old saying, God helps those who help themselves. And if you're helping yourself and you're moving on the right direction, you know, and you're moving forward, there's a lot of intervention, a lot of help. And there's so many other possibilities, and those are all determined by the choices, you know, that we make. And so with that said, I'm going to see if we've got, we can open the lines up and see what we've got. Looks like we've got Jim on line one. Let's see if we can bring Jim on. Hello, Jim.
Hello. Yes, this is Jim.
Welcome to the show.
Can you hear me? Okay, thank you. First off, I just want to start out by saying I'm really nervous about this. I've never done this before. This is the first time I've ever called your show. I wanted to say that right now is a very spiritual enlightenment time for people, that people really do need to get in tune, because there are some major things that are preparing to happen. Back in the 80s, I had a spiritual turnaround that opened up my eyes to some things and so on and so forth. But I wanted to share a dream with you, and somehow I was led to your site and your radio station and all that through a dream, and then through a TV thing that I saw. About 10 years ago, I had a dream that it was like I was at some kind of a concert or something, and it was a big open meadow with a bunch of trees, beautiful trees around it, and everybody had tents and stuff set up around the perimeter of the trees and everything, and there was this beautiful mountain behind the trees and all this, and I saw this this building that I thought is where this show is going to begin or whatever, and there was all kinds of beautiful people all around and everything, and all of a sudden it became evening and night, and this ship landed in this field, and at first people were really, really freaked out about it and wasn't sure what to do and was scattering all about. And I proceeded to go inside the building looking for who I was there with, and couldn't find them. And I proceeded to go out where my tent was set up and where his tent was set up next to mine, and I still couldn't find him. And then I proceeded to see beings outside of this craft that were ushering people inside this craft. And people were getting on board this thing. And it was a very colorful dream. It wasn't like black and white or anything. It was like, it was a very real thing. And like I say, this dream was about 10 years ago. And I remember it as if it was yesterday. About a couple months ago, I was watching a paranormal thing on TV where some investigators, I guess, were out at this ranch out in Washington.
Yes.
And the hair stood up on my arms and the back of my neck, because I was there in this dream. That's where all this stuff, I was there. I saw it. Now, I don't know, somehow, for some reason, I'm not a prophet. I'm not anybody. I just, believe, now I don't know, I believe I was led to your site or whatever, maybe to reconfirm some things that I think you already know, that you believe are going to happen, that place out there is a very, very special place, and I'm not a prophet, like I said. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just as scared about the future as the next person. But I do believe that I was led to explain or to call and give you my testimony of this dream.
Yeah, definitely. It sounds like you're tuning into the place, and you know, the thing about, I think everybody's is a prophet, and especially the kids, you know, they have DNA line open that allows them to see into the future and even into their past, and we can kick that on as well, you know, through our own spiritual practices or just through dreams and visions. So, yeah, thanks for sharing that, because a lot of people are having the same dream.
Yeah, I kind of felt like, you know, I'm laid off right now. I'm in between work. I'm a union boilermaker. I build power plants and stuff like that. of course, our fine president has taken that away from me, but and declared war on coal-fired power plants, which they're planning on shutting down another 204 coal-fired power plants by the year 2014. So basically, it's eliminated my job and many others. But anyway, but like I said, I felt like I was led out to your place out there, and if God will it, and if it's something that can happen sometime down the road, man, I'd love to come out there and see it, because I really do feel like that it would be a very magical spiritual experience.
Definitely, you have to come see us. We're closing down right now because we're getting ready to come in, but this spring will be reopened. And tell people to come out and see it for yourself. You know, it's real important to have your own experience out here and really tap in. Again, thanks for calling, and hopefully we'll see you out here in spring. And I've got about 10 more callers here, so I'm going to have to go over to them.
Well, thank you, and you have a good evening.
Keep us informed any more dreams you have.
All right, man. All right, you have a good night.
You too. It looks like we have Michael on line 3.
Hey, James, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, and I know you got your call stacked up, so I'll try to make my points as quickly as I can. And, yeah, we are living in some pretty intense times, and, you know, there's a lot of rhetoric going on about collapse and martial law and all these things that are going on. And I got introduced to all of this, to all of these probabilities, when I woke up, you know, full blown, because I always was aware of part of the picture for years, saw UFOs when I was a kid and dismissed them. But about 4 years ago, 3-4 years ago, I really woke up and, you know, I'm not one of these people that just stayed on the internet and doing blogging. What I did when I found out about Dr. Stephen Greer, when I found out about you, I packed up my stuff from Texas and I moved to Portland, where I was an hour and a half away from East SETI, and I went out to the ranch ten times out there, and I never met you personally, but, you know, I got to, you know, do contact events with you there, out there at the ranch, and had my own experience. And you know, of course, it was verified, you know, totally verified. I mean, Mount Adams is definitely a vortex. It's definitely an energy center, and it's a real deal. And you know, of course, you know, I saved up some money later on in the year, and I did a couple events with Dr. Stephen Greer, and you know, I didn't have nowhere near as much of an experience as I had with his events as I had just going to the ranch. Could have saved, you know, $1,500, you know, bought some great musical equipment or something. But, you know, I researched the point I'm trying to make. And, you know, there are a lot of people that they just sitting, you know, in front of their computer and listening to Alex Jones and, you know, all these propagandists getting fed all of this, you know, a lot of hype and disinformation. And the reason why I'm calling is that there's a couple of things that I want to make clear to kind of cut through, because, you know, like researching the UFO issue, you know, I've researched these other issues out there, and I've gotten into the field, and I do a lot of reading. And first of all, there's not going to be a flat-out financial collapse. That is total nonsense, garbage, disinformation. There's going to be a financial system reset, and that's what's going on. And secondly, the most important thing, and this, you know, all people have to do is get out and read, do some reading, talk to people in the military. But the fact of the matter is that our republic is coming back, and it's coming back with a vengeance, and that's a fact. And if people just do a little bit of research, a little bit of reading, they will see that our military, they are taking a stand for the Constitution. And right now we've had five major upper echelon military leaders getting fired by this administration for whatever reason. We don't know what's going on. There's a lot of disinformation, but things are in the works. The troops are in no way unequivocally going to fire on the American people. They support the American people, and people need to quit listening to Alex Jones or anybody else, whether it's John Moore or anybody else that even would even suggest that our military is not there for the protection of the people. And you can take that to the bank. Anybody that's going to put this spin out there that our military is going to support the elites is just feeding into the fear porn. The biggest wake-up that has happened out there in the collective consciousness has been inside the ranks of our military. And these people have been subjected to all kinds of dehumanization, MKUltra mind control, terrible food, and somehow our military, they've been able to waken up. And they are, and our republic is coming back. And, James, you've got one of the best shows out there in the alternative media, and I bet there's only 200 people listening to this call. But yeah. James, you are just so far ahead. You've got so much integrity. I've been listening to this show for 3 years, and I can't go on enough just how much of a gift you are to. And I'm not going to call it the UFO community because that thing's been totally co-opted. And I want to close with this last thing by saying that this past week on November 5th celebrates the anniversary of one of the men, the man who started this whole internet radio conspiracy theory forum, and that's Mr. Bill Cooper. If it wasn't for Bill Cooper and the sacrifice that he made and the information that he got out, and I'm not going to talk about what Bill Cooper talked about because it might get this broadcast turned off because everything's monitored, but Google Bill Cooper and get into what Bill Cooper talked about. He was talking about this and stuff that's he was right on 20 years ago, and everything from the UFO question to the military question and everything. He was one of the pioneers for the whole conspiracy movement. So that's all I've got to say. James, love your show. You are simply the best, and I'll take you over George Norrie any day.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much for calling.
All right. Take care.
I think we got more than 200 people. I'm hoping we do. There's quite a few people. Let me see if we've got. Let's go down. I think we've got Charles on line 4. Let's see if we can get Charles in.
Hello?
Charles, welcome to the show.
Hey, James. How you going, mate?
Hey, welcome.
It's good to hear your voice again.
Hey, you know, I'd love for you to share. I know you were here at the last gathering we had where we all did a meditation and we went to several places in the future. And I know quite a few people had the same image of they would see flashes of events. And I thought it was interesting that a lot of the people actually saw all of the cars just parked and pulled over to the side of the road and nothing was running.
Yep. Yep. I remember we were sitting around in that circle and, there were 4 or 5 people around the circle actually that saw the same thing where they just saw cars not running, just parked up, not in a doomsday kind of way, but just stopped and not doing anything. Which was kind of really interesting for us, I think.
Yeah,
and that whole weekend was actually quite intense, and what a wonderful energy was around the place.
Yeah, it was amazing. I'm still recuperating. I was like, I'm still. It was an amazing weekend.
It was pretty insane. So I was just calling to share. Share a few incidents that I had recently. I left my job in Australia because I had a few sort of interactions with ETs and kind of went on a bit of a journey to explore it a little bit and ended up at your ranch where you sort of exposed me to a whole different world, which as you know, I kind of held at arm's length for quite a long time and sort of struggled to take it on board. But as you know, I've been sort of continuing my journey a little bit, and I've been in Denver recently meeting lots of people that are involved with the UFO phenomena and contact. And whilst I've been here, I've seen a couple of craft as well, sort of around me and a friend, and I've also been having some strange hits of energy. And today I was in my car driving to see a guy called Leo Sprinkle. Probably people that listening to this know him, who lives over about 2.5 hours drive away from Denver. And whilst I was going over the mountain range there, I saw a quick flash in the sky, and then shortly afterwards I started getting these intense sort of waves of energy going through my body and starting off at my head, and then, you know, it'd build and build, and then it'd die off for a couple of minutes, and then it'd start again, and it got really, really intense. And the next minute, I'm not in the car anymore. I'm out of the car and I'm in space and I'm looking at the planet, and it's like I can see everybody on the planet, white, you know, whatever, and have this immense love for everybody on the planet. And I mean, this is just so intense. Like I started crying in the car, and you know me pretty well. I'm the type of guy that does that sort of thing. And this went on for a little while, and then it subsided and went away. And I thought, you know, well, that was an interesting experience. And then shortly afterwards, a similar thing happened, and again, I'm out of the car, and I'm out looking at the Earth, and I could see all these different colours, like exploding, like purples and blues, just tiny little colours like pinpricks on the globe exploding. And there's this voice in my head saying to me, this is what it looks like when you guys wake up. This is what it looks like when you go through the awakening. And then I'm back in the car and I'm driving again, and I'm like, man, I'm just full of tears, and not in a bad way, just the incredible energy and very emotional. It was a super intense experience. And you know me pretty well, and you know I don't go in for any of that kind of stuff, so... And this came out of the blue, too, so it was quite a fascinating experience, and I just wondered what you make of that.
Well, I was talking before about your, you know, one thing that people don't know about Charles here is that he's actually a scientist and a geneticist and very, very, very left-brain in the field and surrounded by people that just don't believe in any of this stuff, and having a major awakening. And what better person for that to happen to, because, you know, you've got the science background and now you're having the spiritual background. And when you merge the two, you know, it's going to be amazing. And these are the type of people they pick sometimes, because, you know, they want the scientific community to wake up as well. And you know, the more you know and the more you understand about this, both the science of it and the spiritual side of it, the more you can help others. So, you know, all I can say is welcome to the club. You know, that same thing is happening.
Thanks, James. No doubt you'll hear from me again in the future if this continues.
Yeah. And the main thing to realize, that people need to realize, you know, when these things happen, you're not going crazy.
Yeah, yeah, that's the most important point. Everybody that I speak to who's had contact, and I mean, I thought I was so crazy. I went to psychiatrists. They put me on lithium to stop me having dreams and things like that, and you know, and made turn me into a robot for about 8 weeks, and then I quit taking that because it was just horrendous. And then the experience sort of slowly started again, and it's like, you know, but the crazy thing is, even if you have these experiences and you have witnesses with you, like most of the stuff that's happened to me, I've had people with me. I've even had people see beings, other people see the beings in the room with me. But you still go away from the experience and think you're mad, because society has conditioned you to believe that these are the certain set principles and rules that we have to live by. And this is what exists in our realm and our reality. And anything outside of that, that you experience, puts you outside of the sort of normal distribution, that bell-shaped curve of where your normality and where humanity's normality is supposed to be. And if you step out of that, you're a weirdo or a nut job. And, you know, and they'd be quite happy to throw you in a cell. Whereas, you know, and lots of these people that I talk to have had contact, they really struggle with this aspect. They really feel for a long time that they're going mad. And one of the hardest things for them to do is to actually accept that this is happening to them. And I think that's really painful. I mean, I know it's painful. So,
oh, yeah. Yeah, it's rough. But it doesn't have to be, you know, when you finally just, you know, what I see is you just have to go with the flow and, you know, with loving detachment. And when things are unfolding like that, just stay in joy and stay in humor, you know, and just say, this is interesting, you know. And,
yeah, very interesting. I'll try and keep the car on the road.
Yeah. You know, what do you have to, and just see what they have to offer. If it feels good and if it's helpful to you or humanity, then listen and use it. You know, if it's disempowering or feels negative or whatever, then, you know, it's time to learn how to heal unseen negative influences.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So anyway, I thought I'd just share that with you guys.
All right. Hey, well, thanks for calling in.
Take care, mate.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye. You know,
really important, folks, to, you know, there are people in very high places having these experiences. And what Charles was talking about, where all the lights are going on, looking back at the earth and people waking up and lights popping on everywhere. That is, you know, one of the other options, you know, basically a mass awakening. And that's what I'm praying for, that enough people wake up and raise the frequencies up to where we can avoid a lot of these things, you know, avoid a lot of the heavy experiences that the earth is going to have to do to cleanse herself and heal and move on. So, you know, as a collective, we can change that reality. Are we going to do it? I don't know. I don't know how many are going to wake up. I know some are choosing not to wake up and are going to have their own experiences. And that's just the way of the universe. Let's see. I think we've got Roger on line 3. Let's see if we can get Roger on.
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, James, wouldn't you agree that some people that just, they play in the physical world and they say, well, that's all there is. And then the other people that play in the spiritual world and they say, well, that's all there is. That's all I want to do. But what people don't understand is man's true nature is he's a quasi-physical being, and that would be the proper way to look at it.
Oh yeah, definitely balance. I think it's all balance, and I think our, you know, our physical body, our mental body, our emotional body, and our spiritual body all need to find balance and create heaven on earth. You know, bring heaven and these higher dimensional realities down to earth and embody them in the physical. That's my belief that's the path to go.
Yeah, I don't see what's so hard about that concept. When the people begin to understand that, then they can begin to, you know, put everything together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just almost everything comes from imbalance, and a lot of
that's what I think too. Yeah,
yeah, they come from just misinformation and going to the wrong sources for information, and they're just a product of the social consciousness or herd consciousness that's going on here right now. And I think the only way we can find balance sometimes is just to totally step out of it and get into nature, you know, throw your TV out the window.
Now, do I have time to tell you about a time travel story real quick?
Yeah, really quick. We just got a couple minutes left, so.
Okay. A couple years ago, I read Cosmic Explorers by Courtney Brown, the guy at Farsight Institute, and I thought it'd be great if somebody interviewed him, because those books were highly interesting because he remote viewed some of the ETs. And so I went to his site and I found out that he had passed away because he had taken too much heat because he wrote those books. And then flash forward 10 years into the future, I find out he's giving lectures live, radio lectures right on the radio. And I just don't understand how that can be, you know.
Yeah. Are you talking about Courtney Brown?
Yeah. It makes me think that there must be parallel universes and it has something to do with time travel.
Well, that's happening to a lot of people. You know, people will actually see newspaper headlines that a famous person died or whatever, and then they see them back, you know, and they go, well, wait a second, I did see that.
Yeah.
And they start, you know, scratching their head.
I distinctly remember that, and I just blew my mind when I found out in 2012 he was alive and well and heading up his Farsight Institute. You know, that just, I couldn't explain that, you know.
We just had him on our show here just not too long ago. It was a really good interview. And he talked mainly about what his remote viewers were seeing in the future, you know, which was pretty much the grid was down, and there's a lot of ocean displacement and a lot of meteor impacts is what they saw, and you know, with double, triple blind tests. But all between now and June or July, you know, they saw these events. But when I tried to get him into the ET stuff, he just didn't want to go there. He just said, well, I wrote a book about get the book. And I tried several times to get him to go there, and he just kind of stayed away from it.
Yeah, I heard he has a DVD on the Crucifixion of Christ, but I wonder why he wouldn't touch the Conception or Birth of Christ. That might be a little bit too hot to handle, you know?
Oh, I get emails all the time telling me how whacked I am because I think Jesus is an ET. But, you know, I told him I have a great reverence for Jesus and all the masters of all the cultures. And all the evidence is pointing to him being at least half extraterrestrial because...
I Mary, think so, too, yeah.
Yeah, Mary was pregnant, and Joseph said, I'm not going to marry her. I didn't lay with her, you know, and this... light being appears to him and says, you know, this is my child or God's child, you know, you'll rear him as your own. So if that's the case, you know, his dad was not from this dimension, you know, he was definitely from another dimension. And if you really knew the real history of Earth, Mary's genetics go all the way back to ancient Lyra. So she was one of the first colonies on the Earth way back in the day. So she had very pure genetics as well. And the combination of the two gave him the body to walk on the Earth because his soul was so high and so charged. He would have burned out the synapses.
I wish people would balance the physical with the spiritual and not deny either one of them, come to accept the fact that they're physical, but they're non-physical too, you know, so.
I'd say I've been working on that because after the two near experiences, it's been real hard to get back into the physical and get balance. And so, whereas a lot of people are trying to get out of here, I'm trying to come back, you know, get my feet on the ground.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks. It was great talking to you.
All right. Take
care. Bye-bye.
Have a good one. So we're coming up to the end of the hour, coming up on the second hour here real shortly. And, you know, I just wanted to kind of end this show with letting people know that, you know, drop the fear. Everybody says this is fear porn and this is a fear message. This is doom and gloom. It's really not. It's you know, I don't have any fear around this. I don't have any fear of death. I've already died a couple times and I'm not trying to push anything or sell anything. It's just a matter of doing the research and looking at the statistics, look at the archaeological records, the geological records, you know, look at look at the statistics on the earthquakes and the volcanic activity and the severe weather. Just pay attention to what's unfolding around you and you'll see we are in times of change, you know, and I think this is going to escalate and probably peak out December 21st and continue. You know, it's not just going to end on December 21st. That's the peak of it. That's the perfect alignment with the galactic plane. And then we'll be on the downswing. But we usually move into things with changes and move out of things with changes. So the changes aren't just going to end at that time. And I do believe we are going to come out of this, most of us, and have an amazing experience. And we are going to unite with the greater family of man. That's part of our destiny. And the Earth is going to clean up and heal herself and move on. How many of us are going to be around to see that? I guess, again, that all depends on personal choice. So, you know, it's time for, you know, right thinking, right living, you know, right action. Focus on love and joy and bliss and service to humanity, Earth, and pay attention, you know, to your surroundings and go with the flow and you'll be fine. Well, it's at the end of the hour, folks. So have a great evening. I'm glad I got this off my chest because I needed to bring this information out. And I wouldn't feel good about myself if I didn't give people a little heads up. So enjoy the second hour and we'll talk soon. Greetings, this is James Gillen, and I'm your host. We've got another great show. We've got all kinds of things happening right now, but we're going to cover that in the first hour. So we're going to skip the intro and go right into the show. And we've got Chris Sartain is on, and he's been practicing yoga for over 12 years, and he's now taught yoga and meditation for the past 5 years. He's just published his first book entitled The Christo Revelations, Gnosticism, UFOs, Yoga, Meditation, U.S. Foreign Policy, and Oneness Consciousness. All those are great subjects I love to cover. So without any further ado, we've got a lot of information to cover, so I'm going to bring Chris on the show. Chris, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here. Thanks so much, James. It's such an honor to be with you on the show. I'm pretty excited. I've been a big follower of yours for a long time and paid attention to your work there up in Washington for so many years. It's just such an honor. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. I always tell everybody, you know, don't follow me. If you follow me, you're lost.
Yeah.
follow the God within.
Sure.
That's
sound advice.
Yeah, because basically I don't want to be anybody's guru, and I have my own programs, my own walk, and everybody has their own individual walk, you know. They have their own unique purpose for being here, so we empower
Absolutely.
People to go forward, you know, with that. But that being said, anyway, I noticed we were just talking earlier about some llamas that you said were visiting you, and that's, I've always been fascinated. I've studied with llamas and have been given a name, my own personal name, but I'm always fascinated by what they have to say about the times that we're in. And so maybe we can start off by just sharing some of the information that they shared with you.
Sure, thanks. We had one Lama in particular. His name was Tenzin Lama Sherpa, and he's from Nepal. Originally, his dad was a Sherpa. He led people up Mount Everest there in Nepal. And actually, Tenzin was supposed to do the same, but decided at a young age that he really wanted to follow the Buddhist path and a spiritual path, so he went into that early on, and now he is a master meditation teacher as well as a Reiki healer, an amazing Reiki healer. And so he was staying with us for a few weeks. It's a long story how we met him, but at any rate, he had lived in Chile for a while. My wife's from Chile, and so they had that in common and became fast friends. At any rate, we were talking about, first of all, I find it interesting, you know, he told me how the Tibetans, when something new comes to light, they're willing to change their belief system and their dogma and their approach. And a lot of, unfortunately, so many of the religious traditions today are quite rigid, or the fundamentalist ones at any rate, and unwilling to change when new information comes to light via science or discovery or what have you. And so I find it interesting and really reassuring that the Tibetans are so open to change and to altering their beliefs and altering their approach to the spirituality when new information comes to light. And that was really enlightening for me to hear, you know, because so many traditions don't do that, and I wish they would.
Exactly. I know. You know, yoga is all-encompassing. And I know a lot of times when India or whatever would get involved or absorb through history, they would kind of involve themselves with other cultures or something. They would just absorb that culture too into theirs, and learn technique and things like that. And that's the way it used to be in the past. But I know, especially in the Western beliefs, I've seen, you know, they're very locked down. I've been having conversations with these guys for a long time, you know, about UFOs not being demonic and the devil.
And, right.
Yeah, and they just put everything unknown into the devil category, everything they don't understand, you know, rather than being open to new ideas and new research and new information.
Yeah, if it's not in the Bible, it's the devil. But what they don't realize is that it is in the Bible. You know, UFOs, of course, are in the Bible. ET contact is throughout the Bible.
Yeah,
you mentioned the Indian tradition. What I find so rich about the Indian tradition is their ability to absorb other traditions into their own and to acknowledge and appreciate all the masters, all the avatars. rather than basing an entire dogmatic system around one avatar in particular, they embrace all of them as being the same thing because they understand it all. It's all one thing after all. And that's what's so appealing to me about the Indian tradition and about yoga. As you said, it's sort of all-encompassing, all-embracing. And that's what appealed to me about it early on and why I guess if I'm on any path, I suppose it would be a more of a yoga path.
Yeah. I'm trying not to get up, you know, on my soapbox, but, you know, I just think, where's the exclusivity and omnipresence, you know? You know, and yeah. if they go by their own teachings, you know, that God is omnipresent, then, you know, it's everywhere, and all the other cultures are the other children of God, and we're all one big happy family. But, you know, that's the only way we can keep the war industry going and other things is to separate and divide and demonize, you know, others. And then it's okay to conquer and steal their natural resources, you know, if they're not good God-fearing Christians. But I never even understood the fear part. You know, even Paul said, when you're walking in love, you're walking with God. So, you know, none of it makes sense to me, but I guess it's just a long tradition of exclusivity and separation and war, you know, warring on others of different beliefs, that it's just an old tradition that for some is hard to break.
Well, it really comes down to the idea of, are we separate from God, or are we one with God? Can we experience God here in the now, in the present, in this incarnation, or do we have to wait until we die, until we enter the pearly gates and meet Jesus and live happily ever after, or however the story goes? And unfortunately, especially in the West, we are viewed as separate from God. God is this being, or this being that lives off in another dimension that we can't even access.
You know, yeah, that's little not man even, with a beard and a laptop taking notes.
It's not even accessible to us. You know, it's like, and he intervenes occasionally when we've been quote unquote good, and rewards us and punishes us, I guess, when we've been bad, and this sort of thing. And that's really unfortunate because that separation from God, that idea that we cannot experience God in the here and now, is really what's holding, in my opinion, is what's really holding the world back. That one paradigm, if that could just shift and we could understand oneness and unity, and the fact that we are one with God now. We don't have to wait. We're God now, right now, here. It's not something you ever have to wait for, you know, or be saved to experience or what have you.
Yeah.
So if that paradigm right there could shift, man, oh man, you know, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, it's I know, you know, the Mayans are fully aware of this wave of energy coming through. You know, they call it unity consciousness, and it seems like the separation game is coming to an end. And, you know, I've had a lot of talks with, you know, I don't want to beat this into the ground, but I've had a lot of talks with fundamentalists and their belief systems, and it's quite amazing. And I actually had 17 ministers show up here at the property to kind of do an exorcism and straighten me out or something. I don't know why they were here. And I sat down with them, and we went over the Bible, and I showed them where everything we were doing was in the Bible, you know, and it was quite interesting. But they went back, and they said, we have to read, you know, we're going to go home and read, and we'll be back, and they never came back, you know. But I showed them, you know, I showed them where the ships were in the Bible, where even Jesus said, you search the scriptures in vain, for I speak of a living God, you know. He said, you know, God is all around you, it's closer than the hair on your head. You know, all of these things, I kept showing them where Jesus said, you know, ye are all gods, children of the Most High. You know, what happens when a child of God grows up, you know? And then I tried to explain to him, it's all about consciousness. And we were given consciousness, and that spark of consciousness that can become the full flame and become one, you know, atonement or at-one-ment, can become one with the source. Or we can run around just thinking we're a personality and a body and worship some deity, you know, with a laptop in one hand and a lightning bolt in the other, you know. So, I said, that's your choice, you know, and you're loved either way, but one's a very limited understanding. But I always ask them, I said, well, is God omnipresent? And they said, yes. And I said, so the Creator's omnipresent within all creation? And then they go, well, no, it's not. It's separate. And I said, no, it's not. No, it's not. I said, what was creation created out of if in the beginning was nothing? You know, how can everything not be divine? And it just throws them for a loop, you know? And yeah. It's so hard to get past that separation game. And you know, it's like when you, if you are going to play around in the fifth dimension in Christ consciousness, you have to transcend all cultural and religious boundaries. You have to get beyond that, you know, into unity consciousness and see the Creator in all creation. But, you know, it's a tough nut. You know, it's a hard thing for some people to transcend.
Well, you said it. You know, it's all a case of mistaken self-identity. If you think you are your body, you think you are your personality, even your mind to a certain extent, if you identify just with those things, you're going to end up in trouble. You're going to suffer. This is simple Eastern teaching. This is yoga in a nutshell. You know, it's yeah. How to begin identifying with that capital S self and stop identifying with that lowercase L self. And so much of our society, I don't want to judge, but maybe 99% or so probably is locked in this sort of personality consciousness, this body consciousness, this one life, one incarnation sort of linear existence, unfortunately. And they believe they are the character that they're playing. They believe they are the role that they're fulfilling for God, rather than understanding that that's just a role. It's temporary. You're a God here and now. You don't have to cling to that. Although I have run across in certain traditions, and you know, this would be interesting to talk about. In certain traditions, the lowercase s self is underappreciated a little bit, and sort of looked down upon, and almost is meaningless, and that can be dangerous too. And so I see a lot of people that get into yoga or get into Buddhism and things like that, and they learn that they're personality self or their temporary self is, and they begin to think of it as meaningless because it's temporary, and that can be erroneous thinking, because it gives them a right to escape. It gives them a right to not participate in the world and not really appreciate the opportunity that they're given with the personality, with, you know, a unique way to manifest here in the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. That's one of the talks I've given quite a few times about, you know, the physicality, how it's diminished as less than or illusion or it doesn't exist.
It's all one thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And I go, well, you know, what happens on this plane, it's either going to weigh heavy or light on your soul, so it does matter.
Absolutely.
And it's all God. This is just another density or another dimension of God. It's all God,
right.
And we have to see it that way. And you know, one of the things I used to talk about, a lot of the yogis would die. You know, they would die early for two reasons. One, carrying everybody's crap, you know. It'd be too much of a load to bear. And the other one was they kept saying, this body's dust. This body doesn't matter. It's illusion. It's dust. And,
right.
And because of that, their body did turn to dust. You know,
what a shame.
You know, they took the energy away from the body, from the physical body. And we're hanging out somewhere else, so they really didn't need any more, and the body just, you know, just dropped at an early age. But you know, it's so, you know, my belief is we need to bring heaven to earth. We need to fully incarnate, you know, with
right.
our spirit, and then when we do that, we are. It's a natural process. Your body's going to start vibrating faster and faster, and you will ascend. But you don't ascend by wanting to leave here and judging everything as less than God or meaningless or an illusion or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. And even if it is an illusion or if it is temporary, it's not meaningless. It has a purpose. You're here for a reason. You're doing work. Enjoy it. Embrace it. Why not? You know, you're uh-huh. here.
Yeah,
but Tenzin Lama Sherpa, when he was here, he talked a lot about the rainbow body, and he showed me some videos that he has that I got to see of masters in Tibetan, or actually I should say Nepalese and Indian monasteries, when they died, or actually during their 49 days of limbo, as it were, these huge circular rainbows appearing outside the monasteries, just giant circular rainbows, and they appear in the videos, and the people see them. I mean, you can see, it's not just an effect of the video or what have you, the people actually see these giant circular rainbows. He showed me several videos. His master actually, I believe on the 49th day, they saw a giant circular rainbow, and apparently there are a couple of places, monasteries deep in the Himalayas, where they see these circular rainbows every day. And the thing is, James, there was no clouds in the sky. There was nothing that would cause what I would typically think of as a rainbow. And these are just huge circular rainbows that appear. And so these lamas, these high lamas, are able to access their light body, or what they call their rainbow body, and they really do ascend, and they become light beings, you know. It's just an incredible thing to watch. And if people, you know, a lot of people need to see evidence like that and things like that. Seeing is believing, much like UFOs and whatnot. But yeah, the rainbow body is something that's really come to the fore in a lot of Tibetan thought, and it's sort of seen as the ultimate embodiment or manifestation of their being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had a lot of we teach a lot of self-mastery classes here, and in the classes, I'll have people actually disappear. They'll go into the next dimension, and you'll see their chair, and they're sitting there, you know, doing the practices, and next thing you know, there's nobody there.
Wow.
And we filmed it in sequence, and we have some really good footage of I don't know if you heard about Khan. He's from Japan.
I haven't.
But he spends, like you know, 21 days dark retreat in caves, no water, food, or anything. He might take some water right with him, but and he just totally does his practices there, and it's amazing. He comes out and his head just looks like a ball of light, you know. But we have, you know, a sequence of photographs where he's doing his rainbow body meditation, is what he calls it, and
okay,
the next thing you know, he's like vanishing and disappearing. You see his whole body just dissipate and take off and go somewhere.
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, essentially, you know, the way Tenzin explained it is, you're essentially morphing back and forth between space-time, which is what we typically think of as being reality, and time-space, which I guess is this sort of astral dimension or alternate reality, and you can just kind of phase in and out of it, and take your physical, you know, physicality there with momentarily.
Now, if you ask somebody when they do that, what was it like to them? And they just go, well, it felt really spacey. I felt really high, really spacey, but everybody was still here. So,
right.
So you can see down, the higher beings can see very clearly down into the lower dimensions, but they'll move just out of time. You know, they're just a little bit out of the visible light spectrum, you might say.
And, yeah, that's right.
And then they're gone. You know, but they don't even notice that they were gone. And a lot of times here, I'll be meditating and I'll walk up to groups, and I walk right up to them, and they never see me until I say something to them, and they just jump out of their shoes. It's, you know, and I forget. I go, oh, I'm in that altered state. I didn't even know I was in it. But when I talk, all of a sudden they would snap. You know, all of a sudden I would snap back into it or whatever.
That's right. You have to be careful.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I did that one time. I was meditating, and this coyote came walking up, and I was on this mound meditating, and he was walking all around me, sniffing, and just sniffing. He would look right at me and looked aside, and he couldn't see me, like I wasn't there. And he got within about a foot, and he kept sniffing and getting closer, and like sniffing. And I just went boo to him like this, and he just jumped out of his skin almost. He jumped straight up and backwards, and then, you know, he kind of growled at me, and you know, it kind of upset him, you know, that I just appeared in front of him like that.
I bet
he didn't know what to
I'm
do.
Sure you've had the experience there. I live kind of in a remote area of the Colorado mountains, and I know you live in a pretty remote area. I'm sure you've had the experience of meditating and having just wild animals come right up to you and not really even realize you're there. They just assume you're part of the rock that you're sitting on or yeah. what have you, you know. And definitely a lot of that goes around on around here with all the wildlife we have, you know. And it's just interesting that more people aren't interested in meditation. You know, I've been teaching meditation techniques now. I should tell your listeners I'm a teacher in the tradition of the Kriya Yoga lineage of gurus, in particular Paramahansa Yogananda, and a direct disciple of his, Roy Eugene Davis, that's who I studied with and who I was initiated by. And I've been teaching meditation now for about 5 years, and so many people are interested in it at first and become disinterested in it either because of their fundamentalist belief system. I've had Christians tell me, you know, that their preachers tell them meditation is potentially evil because when you meditate, you open yourself up to demonic possession. I hold the opposite view, which is if you don't meditate often enough, you could open yourself up to negative energies, you know. It's like it's like spiritual hygiene meditation, come on, you know. And so a lot of people will get interested and then they'll lose interest immediately because of that, or they'll lose interest just because they don't see results immediately. So many people, especially in our this day and age, they want immediate results, and meditation is something that takes a long time. You know, I don't even know why I stuck with it, to be honest. It was just God's grace. There's no other explanation. I wasn't the first, you know, let's say 6 months or so, that I was having a disciplined practice. I didn't really have spectacular results. It was nice. It was peaceful, but it didn't come till much later, actually. So people, they really need to understand that meditation is a lifelong sort of a practice and a thing that you do every day, and it's just like brushing your teeth. And if it can become like that, then I think more minds will be cracked open. But that's tricky, you know. Teaching meditation and getting people into it is really, I found it to be a little tricky, you know, especially with here in the States, trying to teach, you know, suburbanites around Atlanta, for instance, where I used to live. How to meditate is tricky, man.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because Jesus said, "Be still and know ye are God," you know?
Yeah,
so
that's right.
He's saying, "Become one with God." You know, that goes against their own teachings, you know. But, you know, there are low-level entities running around there, but, you know, we teach people how to heal unseen negative influences and how to clear your space and maintain your own self-authority in case you run into that. But I always say the mind in which you seek is the mind in which you connect, and if you're focusing on the higher beings, you know, that's what you're going to draw to you and connect. And if you're, you know, if you're doing right thinking and right living and things like that, you're not going to have a problem. It's usually when you drop out of that you have problems.
Yeah, you know, and I've never had any experience with knock on wood, with too many negative entities or things like that, or grays, or some of these reptilian entities that folks talk about. Again, you know, knock on wood, thank God. But I know folks that have, and that's too bad. They're out there. But if you just try to focus your energy, you know, I never really asked to get involved with... excuse me, with UFOs or extraterrestrials or interdimensionals or anything like that. I think I was just putting a certain vibration, maybe a frequency out there that they were interested in. And also because of the company that I keep, and namely my friend Renato Lungato, who you know very well.
Yes.
And so, you know, it's like you said, it's not necessarily... something you ask for. It's just an energy that you put out there and an energy that you receive in return, oftentimes, you know, and that's the way the UFO phenomenon was for me anyway. You know, I just started seeing them. They started showing up, and if I would think about them, they would show up. And then especially after I started hanging out with Renato and learning specific techniques for lack of a better term, summoning them into the night sky. You know, when that started, my gosh, things really got exciting, and my life and my consciousness really started to change. And that's a lot what I talk about in the book, The Christo Revelations. And, you know, I think the two ways that I've found to wake people up the quickest, for whatever reason, seem to be UFO sightings, you know, and genuine sort of samadhi or kundalini type awakenings through psychedelic substances or just spiritual practices, meditation, chanting, and whatnot. So I'm just really interested in waking people up, man, and for whatever reason, always have been since a young age. And the two ways that I've found to do that the most effectively, for some reason, is UFO sightings. People have to understand it's not just seeing the light in the sky, something much more profound and something much deeper actually occurs in your psyche and your being. When you see some of these ships, I'm not saying all UFOs, especially the ones that are made by elements of our government and whatnot, but the real craft and the really higher vibrational beings that are occupying these craft, or at least flying them from a distance or what have you, these types of sightings have an effect on your consciousness. It's not just like watching an airplane go by. Something different happens, and they're doing something too. They're triggering something within you.
There's an exchange.
There's no coincidences, you know.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is that quite a while ago, there was a group in Portland, I won't mention their name, but very much into Yogananda and Babaji and things like that. And, you know, they said they were talking about, they're really split on having me come out and talk, because I connect it all together. I connect everything, the nature kingdom, the
bastards. That's something I'm running into right now, yeah.
Yeah, the ultra-dimensionals, and just how it all ties together,
right.
And how they're all working together, and they're all part of creation, and humans are the ones that are out of sync. You know, we're out of sync with that situation. But they had a real split and a real kind of warring within their own faction about having me come and speak, and eventually they said no. But
doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, they said, well, what do UFOs have to do with spirituality, you know, or higher consciousness? And I just,
that's typical.
Yeah, typical. Yeah, and you know, what do UFOs have to do with Babaji or Jesus or any of the other masters? And I just say, well, you know, they're coming in on their prayers. You know, they are the Calvary, you might say, that's coming in to help. So. You know, and a lot of these masters incarnated from these higher dimensions, these higher civilizations, and that's you know, they came in fully loaded, you know, with this higher consciousness and energy. So I said, if you want to experience the multiverse and the higher dimensions and understand them, I said I'd love to come and talk about it, but you know, if you want to continue as a religion, you know, with your exclusivity and just have one master or whatever or two. And that's okay too, you know, if that's what you want to do. But I said, you know, it's like, I don't, you know, I tell them, I said, you know, contact comes with enlightenment. When you reach a certain level of enlightenment, you're going to be, you know, transcending to these other dimensions and experiencing these beings. But you have to get past your boundaries, you know, your programs and things like that. Well, anyway,
the problem is anytime these organizations start creating an organization around a personality or a lineage of gurus, this type of personality cult is created, and rather than trying to experience what their masters experience, they just worship the master.
Yeah.
It's like most Christians, you know, rather than trying to attain some type of Christ consciousness or state of enlightenment like Christ had, they're content to just sit idly by and lead a crappy life and just worship Jesus in church on Sundays. You know, it doesn't quite do the trick, you know. So
no.
The idea that you know, these organizations, especially, and I hate to hear that because I'm involved with another organization associated with Yogananda and whatnot, and it's a little more open to these types of things. In fact, my teacher, Roy Eugene Davis, he wrote a book back in the 70s talking about, I just read it the other day, about how the likelihood that we were visited in ancient times by extraterrestrials and that they probably altered our DNA, you know, was pretty high. He thought the likelihood of that was quite high, and that they were still here, and that UFOs were probably visitors from other planets. You know, and he's very practical about these matters. And even back in the 60s and 70s, he spoke at some UFO conferences and things like that. Not about UFOs, but about spirituality and meditation and these things. But yeah, I hate to hear that some of these organizations are so close-minded. And I have to tell you, one time I go to Chile for about a month out of every year. My wife is from there. We go there in December usually. And one time we were in Pucón, Chile, which is in the south, in the volcano region, the lake region, near Patagonia. And a lot of, you know, super major hotspot down there, a lot of UFO activity. And so one night I went out and with my wife, and I used the techniques that Renato had taught us, and sure enough, something showed up in the sky. But I have to tell you, this was not like the metallic ships that we had seen prior to that. This was just, and I have pictures of it, but it's like just a plasma, like a you know, I had the sense that it was alive. I had the sense that it was an astral body, a Merkaba vehicle, a Merkaba body. You know, and it's a shame because Yogananda, who I think was really one of the most enlightened beings we've had in the last century, you know, he talked about the astral body so much, and he had such detailed, intricate information about it from his master, Sri Yukteswar, and even spoke with his master and Mahavatar Babaji and all this in the astral realm and these types of things. And so it's a shame that, you know, I can have that type of experience and understand that, oh, that's an astral being, you know. And we were kind of able to interact with it and these types of things. It was an incredible experience. But they're just like I said, when you start wrapping an entire ideology around one personality and creating these types of personality cults, you really limit yourself to everything else that's going on. And that's what I found so appealing about, you know, the Tibetan tradition, talking to Tenzin. He was perfectly comfortable talking to me about UFOs and even related to me some stories from masters about ancient texts that talked about how the ancients flew around in flying vehicles and things of this nature. And I talked to him about Vimanas, and he was very knowledgeable about Vimanas. You know, so the Tibetan tradition is really open, and of course they do have their masters, they do have their gurus and this type of thing, but they're more likely to change their belief system based upon new information than a lot of the other traditions I've found. And he was perfectly comfortable talking to me about UFOs and extraterrestrials and interdimensional beings and higher beings and these things like that, and the rainbow body, the astral body, and yeah, I mean, he essentially assured me, yes, that was probably a light being that you were interacting with in the night sky and that you were able to take some photographs of. And it was definitely not a metallic ship like, you know, the previous sightings that I'd had up to that point.
Oh, yeah, definitely. There, you know, in the Vedic scriptures, it talks about the different types of ships, and it talks about some of the physical ships, and it talks about their armaments and their arrows that would shoot from the ships, that would seek by sound or seek by heat or light. It's really interesting, you know, which would be like a heat-seeking missile or whatever. But then they go on and they said some of the ships are not physical, you know, they're more energy, and the beings on them are energy beings. And then they said some ships are actually light, you know, magnetized light beings or Merkabas, and the beings on them too. So they go into detail about the different ships and, you know, the gods riding these ships and the wars of the gods and things like that. It's amazing when you read it. And there's one text in there that actually gives directions on how to build one.
It shows
how they're built. And I think there's some kind of a mercury or they use, I don't know.
They used mercury. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they used mercury or something in some process. But
well, guess what? One of the governments, you know, like they're pumping a bunch of money into mercury powered engines now and mercury powered aircraft all of a sudden, which I find really interesting. So the ancients knew all these things, and they've, you know, we've had this information for so long, and it's like, and I'm sure you feel the frustration at times as well as I do. Why aren't more people aware of these things? Why aren't more people, you know, I write in my book, the first time I heard about Renato Legato, I read an article, I think on his old website, about how he was able to, he had the ability to essentially, for lack of a better term, telepathically communicate with UFOs and their occupants and you know, have them show up in the night skies and videotape it and take pictures, and like, he has evidence, proof in this, and I was like, yeah, right. I was like, come on, get out of here. I was like, if somebody could do that, if somebody was catching that much footage and they could just ask for him to show up and they would show up, I mean, come on, that's like, that's ridiculous. I was thinking to myself, that would be the biggest story in the history of the universe. Come on. But guess what? He can. Uh-huh. And guess what? So can you.
Yeah.
And guess what? So can a lot of other folks, you know. And I've seen other – and we've had the opportunity to do things like that. Uh-huh. And in large groups.
Yeah.
And it's just absurd that this is not the biggest story in the news and the media on planet Earth right now. We know why, obviously, but and the reasons behind it. But it's just, even with that said, even with the oil and banking cartels and all this sort of whatever you want to call it, the secret elite and this type of thing, even with their oppression, we should, more people ought to be awake at this point. And it's sometimes it is a little frustrating, you know.
Yeah, you know what's happened here? It's kind of interesting because Renato's been here a few times and. The ships came in, and he actually filmed them with my camera. I handed it to him. He said, "Here they come," you know, and took off. But it was kind of interesting because I wanted somebody else to be filming them and versus me, because then I have a witness and the footage as well.
So he's your guy, man.
So it's great. But you know what's happened here is we've had ABC up here, we've had Fox News. You know, they came up here to kind of discredit it, and then the ships did appear. You know, and then they had to acknowledge that they were here, and then we had, Paranormal State came up, and we told them exactly when and where the ships would appear, and they had their cameras running, and they did. They powered up, lit the sky up, made a nice turn, treetop level, and went around the mountain for them, you know, which showed clearly, you know, that it wasn't a known craft, but... But Danny Dyer, you know, with the BBS special, he came up. Robbie Williams, who's, you know, one of the most well-known pop stars, he's like the Beatles over there, came up and had his experience. And actually, believe it or not, I just had lunch with Dan Aykroyd a little while ago. And I don't know what's going to come out of that, but it was a very nice meeting. He's a wonderful man, very, very solid, down-to-earth and authentic, you know, hanging out with him. But, you know, with all of the thousands and thousands of witnesses that have been up here and filmed the ships and everything else, like you said, I'm going, what's wrong with this picture? You know, why aren't people getting this and waking up? And you would think we would just be inundated with people coming to the ranch to have their own experience and everything, but we're not, you know, surprisingly enough. After all that, I just see how social consciousness and the religious aspects and everything else are so ingrained in people. And then the field of ufology, I don't know if you've been involved too much into there, they don't want to hear anything about spirituality.
I try to stay out of it, man.
Yeah, I mean, they eat their young.
A lot of dark energy. You know, Renato, he stays on the fringes of it, and he does a lot of the positive conferences and things like that. You know, he tours you around doing, like, just really positive conferences, hanging out with really positive people, mostly in Europe and whatnot, in South America. So I think it's in the States a little bit. We have that negative kind of the content at the conferences and the videos and things like that. And I really try to stay away from that, stay out of that. And that's what I really appreciate about you and appreciate about Renato. You guys have always such a positive message and a positive perspective on a phenomenon, you know?
Yeah, I resigned. I told the UFO committee I'm resigning because you really don't want to know the truth. You don't want to know about the higher dimensional aspects of it. And there's just so much negativity and victimhood and fear and you know. And it's so infiltrated, too. It's really sad, but it is, you know, if you look at who's on the board of a lot of these major UFO groups, they're, you trace them back and they're military intelligence, you know. They're somehow tied to that. And if you look at a lot of talk show hosts and trace them back, you go, wow, there's military intelligence again, you know.
Right.
And then even the UFO Reporting Center, you know, the National UFO Reporting Center, is Peter Davenport, who's a Russian translator for NSA. You know, so you're going, and we've actually busted him over and over, changing reports from engineers and scientists that have come up here and things like that are refusing to report, you know, anything in this area. So he's made a very concerted effort to distract people, you know, even recently to from coming up here and having their own experience. But you know, you look at the field, I go, wow, this is so convoluted and so messed up and so infiltrated. It's just, it's no longer an avenue to bring out the truth or any kind of a higher message.
Well, and it's a shame, you know, and I really approach the subject from a completely sort of a sociological and practical standpoint.
Yeah.
And spiritual, obviously. Uh-huh. But really from a sociological standpoint, you know, and the basic premise of my book is sort of that UFOs appearing in the skies, you know, it's not by sheer coincidence. They're there for a reason. They're desensitizing us to their presence for a purpose, and that purpose is to raise our consciousness.
I agree.
That purpose is for us to have a new, what Renato and I like to call a new mirror, to look, to gaze back into. You know, the only mirror we have now is the only other we have now to look at and compare ourselves to are other ethnicities and other races and other religions here on Earth and in the human race. And that's what causes all the division, all the war, all the bickering, all the suffering, all the destruction. So the idea is that if we had this new mirror of a sort of I hate to use the word superior, but let's use the word sort of superior races of beings that are a little more advanced than us in certain ways, coming here and showing up in the sky and interacting with us. You know, this is profound, and this is something that completely alters the worldview that you know. We are just here all by ourselves, and we're divided, and we have to bicker and fight amongst ourselves. Well, no, we don't. Here's this new race. Here's this superior sort of race coming here that we can compare ourselves to, and all of a sudden, wow, we have a lot more in common. We don't seem so different after all. People are just people now, you know, Muslims, Christians, Jews, whatever, compared to this new extraterrestrial race. Races. Yeah, I mean, we're not so different after all. Yeah, we're just all people. We're all just earthlings, right? And so the nationalities, the ethnicities, these types of misidentifications begin to crumble, and people begin to wake up to the commonality that we all have. And that might sound grandiose. At first, I really believe that this can happen, and many people, including Carl Sagan and other really bright intellectuals, believe the same thing, and the thought has been around for 20, 30 years. Ronald Reagan had a speech about how, you know, I'm sure you know the famous quote about how if we were invaded by, you know, space aliens, that the Soviet Union and the United States could band together and blah, blah, blah. And that type of thing. I don't think we need a threat. That's Hollywood BS. You know, we don't need a threat. We can have a peaceful interaction with these beings. I've done it. Done it. Renato's done it. Many others have done it. We can interact peacefully with these beings and these ships and these UFOs, and everything works out. Everything's fine, you know. And it does raise your consciousness. You do start to see yourself just an earthling, and all these divisions and boundaries and borders start to crumble. And that's just what happens. So they're here for a purpose. They're here for a reason. They're desensitizing us to their presence slowly, so that we wake up, you know, it's time.
Right, you really think about it, you know, you think about, okay, how would an advanced race of beings function? You know, one, they probably wouldn't have a monetary system because they've probably transcended, you know, all material lack or need or whatever. You know, they can probably synthesize anything they want. You know, so that's one thing. They definitely wouldn't be burning oil or fossil fuels. You know, they would have free energy. Their knowledge about God and the universe would far surpass ours, which would, you know, would be a problem for a lot of religions, you know, that want to keep their box going, you know, their program going. So you really think about it, in a way, these beings are, they're a threat to social consciousness for sure, you know, because they represent higher consciousness. So basically, right. yeah, we fear change and the unknown automatically, and basically the oil companies see them as a threat, you know, with all the fuelless energy and whatever they're operating their ships on. And then, you know, you just look at the banksters would see them as a threat, you know, because they represent, you know, universal law and unity consciousness. You know, they don't do the separation game. You know, religions would see them as a threat too, but because of their vast knowledge. So you really think about it, you know, and they can't trespass on our free will. And so they can't come down and shake us up and wake us
up. They participate in a little something called the law of one and non-harm, ahimsa and things like that, you know.
Yeah. And so it's really an interesting scenario because, you know, they can't come down and shake us up. I mean, we have to choose to interact with them and engage them. But at the same time, we're stuck in a totally unsustainable, unrealistic program that we're running here, you know, a very limited program, which, you know, it's not sustainable. It could be our undoing. So it's interesting. You look at it from their perspective. How do they stop us from destroying ourselves when we've chosen to do that, when so many have chosen to do that?
Yeah, and it's not their duty to even do that, you know. We talk about that a lot. It's our responsibility, it's our karma.
Yeah.
You know, and granted, some of the races do have a little more karma to burn with us, like Palladians and things like that. They've had a little more interaction in the past. And the past, you know, and I think they're, you know, that's a whole other story. But it's our karma to burn, it's our responsibility, it's our duty to right these wrongs and to fix, you know, these problems.
But, you know, do we have a right to take down another entity, which is Mother Earth? You know, do we have a right to in our endeavors, do we have a right to trespass on her space, you know, and totally pollute and destroy it? You know, it's kind of interesting that whole, when you look at the big picture, you just go, well, how do you weave your way through there and get a civilization to go forward?
Yeah, and I think the ETs, you know, they take a subtle approach. Well, some would say it's not, but I think it is, you know. And they desensitize us to the present slowly. You know, it's not like Jane Goodall or Diane Fossey when they wanted to study chimpanzees or gorillas or whatever. You know, it's not like they took a helicopter into the forest and, like, parachuted down with, like, machine guns ablaze and stuff. You know, they desensitize the apes to their presence very slowly so as to not shock this collective system so they could interact with them. Mm-hmm. Well, this is the same that's happening right now with these high races of ETs. They're cosmic anthropologists. They're coming here to study us. They want to interact with us. Mm-hmm. You know, you've done it. I've done it. You can do it. It's like possible, you know. You can interact with ETs or interdimensionals or what have you. And so they're coming here, cosmic anthropologists, desensitizing us to their presence slowly so they don't shock the collective system, the collective consciousness of humanity. And it does take time, you know. They're not going to land on the White House lawn like a lot of folks want them to do and completely disclose their presence to humanity and you know, be on Fox News or whatever. It's just probably not going to happen. I just don't see it happening, really. So it's going to be a slower process, and they work in different ways that we don't really totally comprehend. You know, we're just beginning to comprehend. And just, you know, so people understand, when I talk about a basic interaction, I don't want people to get confused and think that I'm talking about, like, being abducted into a ship and things like that. No, I just mean that you can ask for what Renato likes to call a confirmation.
Yeah.
And you have these ships show up in the night sky, and you can videotape it and things like that. You can also, just more recently, have been able to use a headlamp and flash. You know, if you're in a clear enough sky and they're close enough, you can flash a few times and they'll flash back accordingly. You know, three times they do it, three times, five times they do it, five times. Mm-hmm. And you can communicate on just a very basic level with them. And people need to understand that it is possible this is happening, this is going on, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not happening fast, it's not flashy, it's not Uranus, it's not Hollywood.
Yeah.
It's not Independence Day, you know, but it's happening, it's there, it's reality, contact is happening.
You know, what I think, and I'm sure you're fully aware of that, is what they really want us to do is rise to the occasion and meditate and clean up our consciousness.
Yeah, that's true.
It's very hard for them to engage us because we're carrying a lot of fear and guilt and unworthiness and, you know, old wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experience, and that all has a frequency to it. And
yeah,
these beings are very high frequency beings, so they're very telepathic and empathetic and things like that. So it's very hard for them to engage us if we aren't kind of rising to the occasion and moving forward. It's almost like taking a wild animal into your house, you know,
that's exactly what it's like.
Yeah.
I mean, just imagine, you know, you do a lot of spiritual practice, you meditate a lot and things like that. I'm sure you've had the experience of being in a situation, maybe, you probably don't, I can't see you going to Walmart or anything like that, but maybe going to, you know, just being around a negative dense building or negative dense vibration. People that are very, like, oppressive and things like that, and because you do so much spiritual practice, you're super sensitive.
Yeah.
And because you're super sensitive to things like that, when you go into places of this low vibrations, it's really, it affects you in ways that it doesn't affect normal people that are super numb. And so just imagine these ETs, interdimensionals, that are, like, way higher vibratory than we are, coming here and having to deal with our low vibration. You know, it's not really their responsibility to lower vibration to, like, interact with us. It's more like our karma and our duty, I think, just in my opinion, to raise our vibration, actually, to interact with them, you know.
Exactly. And I think that's why, you know, we've been so successful in getting just phenomenal footage of these huge light ships flying right over the building, you know, half treetop level, things like that, because we have risen to the occasion and we made that our focus, where I think a lot of the people in the UFO community are just trying to run out there and catch one. They find a hot spot or a place where there's a lot of ships, and you know, they were totally unsuccessful here in getting hardly any footage whatsoever, because, you know, we had Dr. Jalen Hynek, Greg Long, all these people up here doing research on the UFOs, and it was really hard for them to get any footage because they were chasing them around. You know, they're always chasing them, trying to capture them, and even the rangers and things like that, when they got there and powered their cameras up, the ships disappeared.
Yeah, the first thing these types of people get is intent. That's what this is all about.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean,
so,
people come here all the time. You know, I live in Crestone, Colorado, and that's a major UFO hotspot, and people come here to do sky watches and even pay pretty large sums of money to come here and have people, you know, guide them in sky watches and things of that nature. San Luis Valley is a major UFO hotspot for folks that don't know. But anyway, yeah, you get people, researchers, that come here and they don't see anything.
Yeah.
And they get pissed and they're like, this isn't a hotspot. This is nothing. Well, you know, where's your intent? What are you doing? Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
Ask yourself just real simply, you know, why am I trying to see these craft? What am I going to do with this footage? Who's going to see? Who's going to benefit from it? Is consciousness going to be raised?
Yeah.
You know, am I benefiting humanity?
Yeah,
planet Earth.
Am I getting
on planet Earth by doing this? You know,
yeah.
they just want footage to inflate their ego,
exactly.
To show to people maybe at a so they can speak at a conference and have a video show of somebody to inflate their ego and to hang out with people and fit into a certain niche community and this type of thing. I mean, I've seen it. I've seen it a lot. I'm sure you have too. So that happens. That goes on, you know.
But where's your intent? People, here is like, you know, what I found out, like you're saying, is that, believe it or not, UFOs are number two as far as hit on the internet. You know, they're number two as far as research is going. And people come up here to see the UFOs and they'll see one and something will happen and they'll go, whoa. And I go, well, do you want to know who's on them? You know, do you want to connect with these beings? And if right. you want to do that, now you're going to have to do your spiritual practices and you've got to clean up your consciousness. And it's been a major factor in actually enlightening a lot of people to do some of the other ancient practices, you know, to open themselves up and learn how to heal unseen negative influences and how to transcend levels and just understanding their own multidimensional nature. So it's been an asset here to open people up, because when I was teaching other classes, nobody was coming. You know, it was amazing.
This is what I'm saying, you know, and this is for whatever reason, UFO sightings and UFOs really are a catalyst for awakening.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, we don't even have to analyze it. It's just, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. It certainly was a catalyst for my awakening was when I was in my mid-20s and I started seeing them. You know, and that's when I really started getting into practice and yoga, meditation, and Ayurveda, and healing, and these types of things, and energy work. And it's a catalyst.
Yeah,
it does wake people up.
Exactly.
And that's where the focus ought to be, is how it affects your consciousness. And that's not the focus. If you go to UFO conferences and things like that, unless you're speaking there, or not speaking there, or a handful of other guys are speaking there, let's face it, it's just nuts and bolts, Area 51, you know, metallic craft, government conspiracy, government cover-up, black helicopters, these types of things. And some of that goes on, obviously, you know. But that shouldn't be the focus. You know, that's the government's focus, okay? You know, that's how they study UFOs, from this dry, black sort of scientific approach, you know. It's like,
the 1%.
Come on, let's change the focus of these conferences. Let's change the dialogue. Let's change the intent of why we're doing this. Is it to awaken humanity, or is it just to be able to have pictures to put in a magazine to print so you can make a profit and have a job? You know,
get a following, you know, or things like that.
Right.
I found out, you know, I gave a talk and I had a bunch of scientists coming at me on one of the talks. It was quite interesting. And I said, well, by your own science, I said, do we or do we not have at least 11 more dimensions out there? And they said, yes. You know, some people are saying there's 26, you know, and there's different theories on that. But they're pretty much in agreement that there's 11 more dimensions out there. And then I just said, so how much of that can we measure? You know, most scientists are saying we can measure less than 1% of the actual universe in which we live. And then they agree. And then I said, well, so you want me to give you physical evidence of a non-physical event that fits into the 99%, and you want to keep everything into the 1%. And it's just like, all of a sudden it's just a big reality check on what they're doing. And I just said, that's totally illogical. Even by your own information, you know, that approach is just, is self-defeating. It's totally illogical. And then I get into the higher dimensional stuff, you know, and they usually drop it. But, you know, it's amazing. Hey, you know, we're running up to the end of the hour here. So before we do, I wanted to find out, you know, give your information on how people can get in touch with you or get a hold of your book as well.
Absolutely. So if you want a copy of the book, it's called The Christo Revelations. And it is available on Amazon.com, and it deals with many of the topics that we discussed here tonight. If you want to give a shout, you can. My email address is Chris, it's all lowercase, one word, chrissartain@gmail.com. That's chrissartain@gmail.com.
Great. Hey, well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. It sounds like we're on the same page, and I know you're going to be very successful in engaging these ultra-dimensionals in the very near future.
Well, thank you so much. I hope so. Thanks for all the work you're doing up there, and whether humanity knows about it or not, you know, it's affecting all of us. We really appreciate it so much.
All right. Thanks for coming on the show.